Yo, so, you know, like, I spend so much time scrolling on social media, like, looking at, you know, cars and tags and all of our related stuff and whatnot. I'm always on there just looking at stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the a kind of question that kind of posed to me was, like, you know, scrolling through, like, I might scroll through and see, like, an EK Civic on our wheels or something like that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's, like, that's Aldo Anthony's car. And then, you know, I look at it and I'm just like, wait, that's not his car. And but, like, you know, it is his car, but it's not his. And
what did you just say?
So, I mean, like, you know, like, you know, I see a car and it looks like Anthony's.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm like, okay, it's Anthony's car. I look at the tags, I look at the account, and it's not Anthony. It's not Anthony's account. And then it's not.
I mean, like, people built a car that looks like Anthony's.
Yeah. So, I, you know, at first I thought it was his and maybe they tag him or whatever it may be. And, but it's not that case. It's okay. Just that person's car. And it just so happens to be looks very similar. And,
okay.
You know, I kind of see this trend over and over again while looking through social media of, like, you know, are people just using social media as, like, a guidance tool of just, like, being able to see stuff that they like on their car and then a very easy way to kind of, like, replicate that?
So you're saying, like, you think more people are using TikTok and Instagram and social media to essentially see what they like and then basically, I don't want to say copy it, but basic mimic.
Or inspire or whatever you want to say, I guess. Okay. But I think the result of it ends up being that you get very similar
builds.
Results.
Okay.
Yeah, you know? So have you noticed anything like that or?
No. I think that there's always going to be a level and there always has been a level of you see something that you like and you instantly say that that's what I want, right?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I do it at every restaurant I go to. No, listen, don't you sit at the table when you're ordering and, like, as things come out, you're looking over and then you see something and you're like, oh, that looks good.
Yeah, you whisper
and then you hit the menu and you're looking for that and then it's like you can't find it and then the server comes by and you're like, excuse me,
what is that
guy have?
Yeah.
And you know, he's like, I think he had the lobster mac and cheese.
Oh, my,
you know?
Experience is the waiter looks at for like half a second, they know right away and they're just like, fajitas, you know?
Oh, I guess. And
they got that shit right away.
But like that's, all right, that's assuming that they're close by, but I'm saying like, what if the meal traveled to the other?
Yeah, I guess it's harder.
I understand.
Then they gotta look around.
So I think there's always been that level of, you know, kind of looking for a build or seeing something you really like and just knowing which parts you want to go get or which things you want to do to have that same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know that that's changed. I think social media makes it way easier than it probably was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think social media makes it way more obtainable to do it from your house, from your phone, from Applebee's, from wherever you're going, because you're just flipping through on your phone. And I think that there's so many more examples that are available to you to see because of social media. That I just think that you know you're probably seeing it more than ever before.
Do you think that the you know, the want and desire to kind of, you know, pursue inspiration that you saw on social media is because you know that it's going to kind of work for your car and it kind of takes away some of that, like, trial and error process? Because, like, you know, when I get DMs and stuff like that, I get a lot of DMs where people just take a screenshot of a photo on our page.
Want to know what specs that is?
Well, I mean, not even that. Like, you know, because you think that people would ask maybe a more logical question like that. Like, you know, what are the specs on this? But a lot of the times I just get a screenshot and they'll send it over to us and it'll just say, I want this. And, you know, like, that's, I assume immediately that they have that car as well. And they just want to do that exactly because they like the way it looks. You know, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I get that multiple times that, you know, people might just send me one of the more recent ones I could think of is like maybe like Jimmy Oak's car. And, you know, they send a screen cap of his drift car and they're just like, I want these, you know, I want this for my car.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, does it kind of take away from some of the
originality?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that there's always going to be two types of people. There's going to be the person that really wants to kind of carve their own path or uses limited inspiration to kind of get their build mapped out, planned for, chosen. And then I think there's going to be the other people that they want to look. Maybe they don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they really need to see something that they like before they're ready to commit to it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's been really any different. I mean, you know, I think the difference is just how easy and how easy it's been to obtain kind of the view of those cars and those builds has become more recently than maybe 20 years ago, right? Like, I mean, like 20 years ago, you know, we went to car shows and, you know, we waited at 7-Eleven on the day we knew Super Street was going to drop on the newsstands,
mm-hmm.
because all the information about what cool cars were going to be out, what kind of build, what kind of things they did, what kind of, you know, parts they use, and what kind of, you know, parts you could buy from these different companies for your car. It was all in the Super Street, right? Like, there wasn't too many other things besides maybe Saturday and Sunday, you know, TV shows that were on Speed TV and Spike and stuff like that, where you could go and see people building cars,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that that's why, you know, when I think about some of the more popular car scene people back in the day, when I think about who they were,
mm-hmm.
they really were the people that had these builds that were pretty well done, or people in, like, really loved their builds. And in addition to that, I think that those people, they generally had a tie where either they were really mechanical themselves, usually close but no cigar.
Can you give me roughly roughly a year of when this would have been? Because I have a follow-up question.
I don't know. I mean, you know, anywhere probably
like early 2006
and yeah. under.
Okay. So, you know, back then when you saw these people who were doing that, you know, showing up to the car shows, and you said the, you know, more serious people into this, whatever.
More popular people.
Yeah,
in that
yeah.
scene.
The question I have for that is that what year models were they working on at that time? Was it 90s stuff at that time? Was it new stuff at the time? Because I just have a, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, so when I think about it, I mean, it was, you know, at that time, let's see, early 2000s, a lot of 90s stuff.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you had, like, when I think about that scene, there was a lot of Accords, mm-hmm. a lot of Civics, a lot of Maximas.
Yeah.
There was some of the early Ultimas, but the truth is, those cars were kind of crappy back then.
Yeah.
And
those looked pretty bad.
Yeah, they did. And then you also had, you know, the Eclipses. You had the first and second mm-hmm. gen, DSMs. You had, I'm trying to think of like what was really popular.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely had Integra Type Rs. You know, you definitely had, you know, EKs and you know, it was still, EP3 was still kind of like one of the bastard childs.
Oh, it still is to this day.
Yeah. I mean,
you know?
There was a couple of people that started to get into them a little bit.
I love the EP3. You know, that's my favorite generation of the SI.
Hot Wheels car, isn't it? That's Jim's car, isn't it? I think so.
Might be.
Yeah, I'm almost positive it is. So that car, what's interesting is, I don't, maybe that's not it. That might be a lookalike. But Jim's car, it actually, besides doing the Super Street Tour and stuff like that you see around, they actually had it in, I think it was FAO Schwartz in Manhattan. They okay. actually put it in the store,
uh-huh.
in the glass windows.
Yeah, he told me the story about him yeah. driving through Times Square or whatever yeah. it was. Yeah, of course I heard that.
But I guess the point is, like, you know, when I think about a lot of those cars, you know, there was a lot of what those were. There was probably less of cars in as far as models go, and a little bit more, you know, like these were the popular models. And I think a lot of that had to do with when people had aftermarket support,
mm-hmm.
there was something that gave them an easier pathway. I mean, back then, like, if you needed stuff, a lot of the stuff we did in our cars, we built.
Yeah.
We made. And, you know, it wasn't always the prettiest because, you know, I mean,
did the best you could.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that, I had a friend with a late 80s Prelude, and he had a tremendous amount of stuff performance-wise that came from Home Depot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, that's really so, making it work.
Well, because you didn't have anything. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
But,
I know,
you know,
I know how to...
Hats off to him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, back then, if you know, I even think about like the stuff in the sense of like welding and stuff. Like I have a TIG welder, right? Mm-hmm. I had a TIG welder even before this, maybe 15 years ago, and it was super expensive. But now for under $1,000, you can go get yourself a pretty decent TIG welder, right? So there's this thing where even the tools and the technology have come down in price. But like those popular car dudes, you know, when I think about like some of the more local meets that we go to or who were the popular people, they were the ones that had the really dope looking cars and they had the dope parts and they had and so those people used to either be really rich,
mm-hmm.
extremely mechanical and have some money, be really close or tied in with a motorsport store because there was a lot of performance stores at the time,
yeah.
you know, brick and mortar stuff.
Yep.
And it was also the people that used to have strong ties or like their family member was a mechanic or their brother was a mechanic or something to that thing where they had that ability to kind of have some of that fabrication skills or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Then, you know, going back then, you know, the performance shops, and I think Fast and the Furious, if you really read between the lines, you can really see the different inspiration for that time that was grabbed into that storyline. Fast and the Furious, like the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that was one of those situations where they painted, you know, Dom Toretto
yep.
to basically be the guy that when he put stuff on his car,
yeah, everyone
bought it.
Yeah,
and you know what? That may be a more stereotypical view of that, but that was real.
Yeah.
There was like legitimate performance shops back then that straight up gave parts away at their cost.
To their, like, the local pioneers type of thing, right?
To the yeah. guys that had the cool cars. Because they knew if those guys were out there running the cool stuff, that when people came in, they would buy it and they would, you know, they knew that, like, where'd you get that? Oh, I got this from this, you know, tuning, this shop. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I got this from East Coast Motorsports or whatever it was. And they would go there. And they're like, hey, you know, like, I want to do this or this or this or this. So I think that there was a lot of truth to that storyline. And the Dominic Toretto, there was a Dominic Toretto of a bunch of different car scenes all over the country.
Yeah.
And he was the influencer then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's before he became a superhero in the movie franchise.
Well, sure. I mean, so, you know, the people that I knew that were popular in the car scene, they probably weren't going to be able to jump off any buildings.
No, right.
Not without, like, dying.
And not looking that good.
I mean, listen, you have your own reservations about that. Man. I was just saying about the car thing. So, you know, I mean, however you want to paint Dominic Toretto, you know?
All right, so then you flash forward. Flash forward to now.
No.
And you have you know, social media filled with not Dominic Toretto's, but with more average Joes who are putting their stuff out there yeah. for everyone to see.
Yep.
And you know, you might get a person who does not have that real inspiring type of work done to their car and more just kind of
The average car,
and more people, and say that one gets a lot of views or likes or whatever, it goes viral, whatever it
yep.
may be.
Yep.
Like then people are seeing that as their inspiration. Now, does that dilute the creativity and originality of other people's cars?
You know, whether it does or it doesn't, I don't know that I can like clearly speak to it. Here's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, does it really matter? Because here's my thought process.
Yeah.
Is that I think as a car person, for me, I don't really care what there's certain genres of cars that I love, right? There's a lot of exotics that I think are cool, but it's not of my interest with them to like if I had my money to buy that.
Okay.
Right? So like
me too.
Right. So yeah. I tend to like more of the stuff that's nostalgic to me. I tend to like, you know, 90s JDM sports cars. And yeah. I tend to like, you know, some eccentric stuff and some builds. I mean, like, you know, like I said, when we joked about... Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, when we joked about things like, you know, taking a Starion and putting a case swap into it, or we talked about, like, we should build something like that for, like, a giveaway build,
mm-hmm.
it's because that's the stuff that I want to build.
Yeah.
Right? Like I don't really care what people think it looks like or whether it compares to, you know, somebody that buys, you know, a McLaren or yeah. a GT3. Like, I just think it's a cool build and it's fun and it drives fun and like and that ticks the boxes for me. But at the end of the day, if somebody is able to accessorize their car, whether they saw it on, you know, on Instagram, whether it looks the same as somebody else's build, if they truly are happy, if it makes them happy, then I think that that's okay. Where I struggle a little bit is that I guess people are using that more or less in the sense of almost like a visualizer tool.
Yeah. Oh, I have a good one for that.
Yeah.
So for me,
by the way, before you even jump on that, I don't mean like I struggle with the fact that they're using it as a visualizer tool. I just mean like I struggle with it a little bit where if you're using it for a visualizer tool, I get it.
Well, here's how I use it as a visualizer tool. So my last four cars or so at the time when I bought them were like basically at most 9 months old. Like my last four cars were all very up to date when I bought them. So so I went through for the last 8 years or something like that, the whole thing of like waiting for aftermarket support, you know, because like my WRX was new before that. I had a Mazda that was basically new before that had the Veloster. And at the time it was a 2020. I bought that in 2020. And then I bought my Honda Civic Si in 2013 and it was a 2012 model.
Okay.
So I went through all this time period of like waiting for aftermarket support or whatever it may be. And like, yeah, you can go look at like, you know, what's available and what's coming out or whatever. But now that I have an older car and I have the Speed 3, there's been so much done in that aftermarket market.
Yeah.
So I can now, like, I found myself trying to find myself like a, you know, like Z Society on Instagram or something like that. Like, and, you know, all things Z related or whatever. I've been trying to find an Instagram page like that, but for, you know, the Speed 3s or the MPS or whatever they want to call it.
Right.
And that way I can kind of just go through.
And just skim through and see, oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. What is that?
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Because I'm unfamiliar. There's been so many years of so many different things that have come out onto that particular car's aftermarket. And I can now look at it and kind of see as a whole, as opposed to I always used to be looking at companies, seeing, hey, when are you guys going to release something? Hyundai, when are you doing the Flash Pro? You know, something like that. Or.
Yeah. Well, so to now, when you think about the way you handle it, do you now think that maybe that you're a copycat? Do you think your builds are unoriginal?
Yeah, I mean, you know, but I'm not trying to be the most original guy.
That's fair.
You know, so I don't feel any kind of shame in that or anything like that.
Right.
That's my daily driver. It's my beater. And I still like to do little bits of things in here and there, but I'm not going to be, so, you know.
But I guess I'm going back to the point I was talking about before, right? And I'm saying like, all right, so when you get these parts, in theory, if you pulled up to a dude at a car show and your cars looked identical.
Yeah, which happens, you know?
Okay.
That happens.
Would you be upset or would you not really care? You kind of laugh it off because you would think to yourself, you know what? At the end of the day, like, I put the stuff in my car. Yeah, I saw it from someone else. Yeah, I got inspiration from somewhere else. But I'm really happy with what I have. Like, or do you look at it and go, ah, crap?
I think there's three ways to look at that.
Yeah, but how do you look at it?
Me? I'm trying to think.
You pull up to a car show.
Yeah.
Pull into a spot. You want to be parked near all the Mazda 3s.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you pull in, and there is a car that is virtually identical to what you did. Same wheels.
I would have two thoughts.
Yeah.
I would have two thoughts.
Yeah.
And it would be one damn... That kind of sucks. I feel like mine's just like everyone else's or whatever. Two, it would give me that kind of reassurance. If I look at his car and I go, his car looks nice, I would have that reassurance of like, I feel like I did a good job of mine. You know, there's two ways to look at it, and they're kind of opposite ends. And I don't know which would feel more or less in the actual time of. But, you know.
I take the stance. Mm-hmm. If I pull in and my car looks like the guy's next to me, I mean, like, identical.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about looks. I'm talking about, like, you open the hood.
You guys got all the same stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am messed up.
Yeah.
I'm upset.
Yeah.
Because I purposely, when I work on my car, when I put parts into my car, I'm always looking to try to go the extra step. I don't want to just bolt something on.
Yeah.
I want to truly integrate something into the car. And you've heard me say that a million times. And I always have felt like that. But I also came from a time where, for me, it was really important that I was trying to do things for me. Like, just for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand if somebody shares the view of, yeah, I didn't necessarily imagine these things. I saw this, I saw that, but when I put these things on my car, they made me happy.
Yeah.
Because when I do things that are unique to my car and I feel like I've went the extra mile to imagine them, make them, create them, you know, not just buy something off the shelf, or if I do buy something off the shelf, modify it in a way that it really works, or I feel like I made it better or whatever it is, that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I guess I don't know that I really critique people for copying, or do I think, like, you know, the originality kind of is a problem, the unoriginality could be a problem. I almost look at it in a sense of, if it makes them happy, that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. Because I like car enthusiasts regardless of what genre they're in.
Okay, well then your opinion, this might be a different kind of question then, but in your opinion, does that make, like, the standards for what makes people happy about their cars too low?
I think it's a self.
Yeah, but you as a car guy, looking from an outer scope, like, you know, does it make it too, you know, simplified, black and white, whatever you want to call it?
The reason I don't think I can answer the question is because I think it's the question that would basically
setting up
be
for,
like,
a bad answer.
No, because I guess when I think about it like this, is that's like me mocking people for buying an intercooler kit,
mm-hmm,
when I may take the path of buying all aluminum piping, cutting it, welding it, and making it myself.
Yeah.
Like, is there something wrong with the kit that they bought?
No.
Not at all. Mm-mm. Like should I feel proud about what I did if I make it myself? Yes. It works just as good? Yeah, I think, yeah, I should.
Mm-hmm.
But should they not feel proud that they purchased something and they bolted it on their car? No, I don't think so. You know what I mean? Do I think that the nature of how easy it is to see other builds that may be like yours and kind of mimic those builds, do I think that that's taken away from some originality? You know, I don't know. Do I think it's made it easier? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
However, I'll argue that I also was in the time where import tuning and sport compact cars, you know, I remember the part where there was, you know, 6, 7, 8 cars that had aftermarket support, and everything else had a spattering of parts,
mm-hmm,
right? And so if you wanted stuff, you made it. Or, you know, you found somebody that made it. Or there was a shop that was making these things, and then somebody else said something. Next thing you know, they were making a lot of them. Or there was a mod that somebody was doing, and they were saying, like, hey, if you try this or do this or do this, and then you would do it, and then either you would feel a certain way about it. That happened to me a lot. Like, you were in that stage where there were some forums, and, you know, a lot of the stuff that you were learning was from, you know, different tracks or car clubs, physical meets that you were going to, and you would see somebody do something, and it would give you an idea, and you're like, well, I like that, but I don't want it to look as kind of crappy as it did.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you do? You would get into that realm where you would try to take what they had, the workings of it. Yeah, I saw the light go out too. And you would essentially try to make it look better, try to make it function better, right?
Right.
So I had a lot of those. But, you know, at the end of the day, I guess the way I feel about it is that, you know, more power to these people that can, you know, find these things that they want, purchase them, it works. Because I think that for a lot of people, creates a much easier and better experience to be a car person and modify your vehicle, right? You don't have to go through some of the pains and troubles.
Do you think it alters the person's mind on maybe, instead of asking themselves, you know, what can I do to my car, it makes them say, like, what can I get for my car?
Yeah, you know? But I would argue that even with my point of view, that I kind of do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean I browse a lot of different sites. The only thing I think that's maybe really different for me, and maybe I'm just, I know that I'm a little bit more on the other side of the spectrum of being a little bit more intense with this stuff, right?
Sure.
But what does it for me is when I look for things, I tend to go outside of my vehicle. I tend to go outside of even our genre a lot. I'm, you know, like, a lot of times when I'm looking for inspiration, I'm looking at cars that are exotics or supercars or, you know, high-end cars or race cars or, you know, maybe even domestic cars, you know, different cars that have different things, and kind of saying, like, oh, that's interesting. Look what they did to cool those things down. Or look, you know, and I'm not looking for all that stuff like inherently, but I'm a student. I'm an observant student of what's going on throughout automotive in general. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you right now that there's something I'm working on even for my car, which I don't know that will work or not, but you know, I'm just crazy enough to do stuff like this, is that like my Z gets really hot, right? Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting is I spoke to Vinny Dan about this, and he, with all his car wisdom and knowledge, he tells me, you're wasting your time, don't bother. Damn. So I tend to believe that he's going to be right.
Yep.
But something in this project still makes me want to do it.
Okay.
So my thing is that the Zs tend to run very hot.
Yep.
And one of the problems they have is cooling. Now, I've already addressed the cooling system. I got, you know, bigger Spall fans. I have, you know, a Coyo, you know, HD aluminum radiator, lower temp thermostat. We have the fans coming on earlier. You know, I've done a lot of cooling system mods to help, and it does. It helps so much. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you open the car, the Z, right? If you open the hood on the Z after you get done driving, especially in the summer, if you even try to touch the upper intercooler pipe, which is essentially the intake pipe, it will melt your face off.
Right.
Like, it is so hot. So, like, your intake temps have to, they climb because the fact that, like, you ping it with a digital thermometer and that pipe, when you open the hood, will be at 140 degrees. Like, that's crazy. So there's heat tapes and different things I've done. You can do all that stuff. That's great. What I'm thinking is, well, a lot of other industries or other segments, by trying to take some of the heat, bless you, by trying to take some of the heat out of the engine bay. So in other words, you bring oil temps down. Oil temps are known for getting really high on the car, mm-hmm. right? That also allows things to cool down within the engine. So for other, you know, different muscle cars or whatever, they'll use things like, you know, oil coolers to be able to bring temperatures down in the under the hood, because they're taking the oil temperatures down, which is kind of helping
yep.
keep everything cool. Now,
what about aero for you? Any stuff for aero that can
so be look used at as look at the front of my car. If you're watching the podcast, you can see what it is. Uh-huh. There's the front of my car. There is only one entrance into that engine bay, and that is occupied by basically a 4.5-inch thick double core intercooler.
Yep.
Behind that is your AC condenser, and then a radiator.
Do you have anything in front of the intercooler there? Is there any plastic?
So, no, it's not plastic. What you can see right there is just a black mesh grill.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only reason it's there is to stop things like rocks and stuff like that from hitting the intercooler.
What about for the hood for a heat extractor or something like that?
No, so I don't. Now, there's a mod that a lot of the guys do. What they'll do is there's a back weather stripping that they have, and what they'll do is they'll actually take that off. Now, it's not great if you were to have a lot of rain, because it will kind of get wet in there. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, if it's a dry day, then that does allow some air to escape through the back of the hood and up. Now, people will do things. They will cut holes. They have like these channels. They'll cut holes in the bumper, very much like the N1 style, GTR vents that they'll put in the front of a Skyline bumper. But I don't want to cut my bumper. Like, I don't want the holes, mm-hmm. right? And like, you know, then I took you see those dead side markers that are on the side of the car?
Saw them. Yep.
So what I did was I actually bought a set of old side markers.
Can't you just delete them?
Yeah, I mean, not without looking crappy, but what I did was I bought a set of old another set of somebody else's side markers. Mm-hmm. And what I did was I took the lens out of it. Mm-hmm. I stripped off the back. I cut it with a grinder so it was open. I started to paint it black and then to look in, and then I started to basically put some fiberglass over it and try to smooth it in, trying to make almost functional air ducts,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
To go into that area. But ultimately, it just never really. I was like, it doesn't look like. I don't want the car to look anything other than OE ish.
Yeah.
Right. So what I came up with, this is a long winded answer for me to basically tell you why a lot of the off road truck guys, they're out there on the trails doing all this different stuff all the time, right? And when they are doing all that stuff, what ends up happening is they're not moving. There's no airflow.
Mm-hmm.
So they use what's called a remote oil cooler. And essentially what it is basically just an oil cooler that's ducted into this box and has two like small electric fans on the back so that it basically pulls its own air through this remote. But you could put these things anywhere, even if there's not a lot of airflow.
But so it's just a direct cooler for
So it's like that. See the mm-hmm. Dorali one that's up there?
Yep.
So basically what I did was I got one of these things that has 2 5-inch fans. I'm going to mount it into the bumper area where arguably is not really a lot of airflow. But I bought an extra fender liner.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my old fender liner and actually cut a hole and put some mesh in the back of it so that it basically is going to suck, you know, airflow through this core and push the air out into the fender well, out of the fender well mm-hmm. there, right? So my hope is I get all this thing done and I run this, this external remote oil cooler and see if I can bring some of the temps down.
Yep.
That doesn't... All right. So there's a lot of pieces and parts there. Thermostats, not thermostats, etc. So Vinny says to me, there's no real point to do that. You're not going to cool it down enough. It's not going to matter. And I was like, whoa, but I just feel... And he's like, well, you can feel anything you want. You're just not going to... You know, and I understand what he's saying. He's like, look, do you know why everything gets so hot? He goes, because that car, that all those parts in the engine bay and all that stuff, it's all aluminum. He goes, it's doing its job. It's you know, aluminum basically, you know, sheds heat really fast. It heat transfers very quickly. So he's saying the aluminum's doing its job. It's taking all the heat out of that engine and it's, you know, whatever. He's like, your problem is you don't have enough airflow. He goes, and there's just no way around it. That car doesn't have it. So unless you cut holes everywhere, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to cool it down. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but what about, and he's like, and he's just like, it's just not going to do anything. It's going to be a degree or 2 degrees. You know, he's like, it's not going to be measurable. And I believe him, but I also can't stand but to do projects like this. So, but I saw that in an off-road segment more or less
mm-hmm.
where that's really primarily used because they have no airflow. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, I bet you I can do this. And I bought a whole bunch of stuff and I have a big box in the garage of now parts I've been acquiring for my winter project.
So if you get a 2 degree decrease in temperature, is it a success?
I mean, I don't like your attitude right now.
Well, how high are your temps?
Well, like I said, in the engine bay, they're very, very hot.
Yeah.
They're very hot. Like, let me put it this way. If I put my car into the garage after I got done using it in the summer
mm-hmm.
and open the engine bay, the garage, the whole garage goes up like 10 degrees, 15 wow. degrees. Like, it's like legitimately in the winter, I could get my car hot, put it in there and heat the whole garage by opening the hood.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal, actually. There's just no airflow. But I was hoping to bring the flow back to the air. You know what I mean? So
I would think that they have some kind of vented hood or something.
Well, but look, I mean, there's tricks that we can do. Like I said, you could take out that rear rubber strip
mm-hmm.
and the weather strip in the back there. That will allow heat to naturally, because heat, you know, heat rises.
Yeah.
It will naturally pull go out of the there.
Back, yeah.
And then in addition to that, like I said, you can do some different things. You know, if you've ever seen back in the day what we used to do and even, you know, a lot of the drift cars, they angle the hoods. So in other words, they'll put spacers and washers under the hinges so that if you look at the rear...
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, they're lifted up, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why they're doing that. They're mm-hmm. trying to create an angle so that there's more of a gap for that heat to escape without cutting vents in. Now, mm-hmm. I will tell you, I saw something very cool, which I want to do, but I don't have the balls to do it. Well, maybe I do have the... I don't know, but... You ever see, like, if you look at the GTR, an R35 hood,
uh-huh.
it's got 2 functioning natural, I forget what they're called, what kind of scoops they're called, but they're like these induction scoops.
Mm-hmm.
So they take air in. There's actually, yeah, exactly. well, you're showing us all aftermarket hoods, but, well, but yeah, something in that area. Yeah, that's yeah. This is an aftermarket hood. Even, it's on the OE car. I mean, that's, nope, still not there. Yeah, I mean, something like that. Right, right. So you see, like, even if you look at the orange car, right? Mm-hmm. Like, right there, you have those 2, like, induction you know, scoops. So they take air in to help push it down. So I was like, I saw a 350Z that actually had done that. They bought those types of scoops and they worked them into their Z hood.
Right.
And I was like, it looked great. And then I was like, yeah, but like then I gotta cut my hood. Like there's no going back. So then we get a spare hood.
Yep.
But I already have a lot of spare parts. And like my wife constantly gives me, that's not it, trust me. It was a white car that I saw that had it done. So basically bottom line is, I want to do that. I want to do different things. But at the end of the day, like, I really just want my car to look stock-ish, right? Like, enhanced. So, yeah. Anyhow, that was a long answer for a simple question, I think.
No, it was yeah. It was okay.
It was?
Yeah.
All right, because I feel a little self-conscious about myself now.
No.
But anyhow, so I don't know. I mean, listen, I don't think social media is killing the originality of the car scene, but I do think that... you know, as long as people are doing things for the reason that makes them happy, then that's the right spirit for the automotive industry and the enthusiast segment, you know?
Yeah, my worry on that is just that does it set the standard too low? But, I'm not sure.
Well, but would you argue that for every standard that sets the bar low, or I don't want to use that because that kind of feels derogatory, but like, would you argue for every level that's here, it allows the people that are here to shine that much more? There's
theoretically, yes. But reality is, my whole point is, I don't think that that's the way it ends up being on social media. As opposed to the in-person, back-in-the-day thing, you said that you're, the big, well-known people in the area were the people who shined at the top or whatever. And that's what people wanted to do to their cars. But now, I feel like there are more average Joes on social that can shine potentially bigger than some of the real,
Yeah, I guess. Look.
That's the point.
But listen, I think people that are at the top that keep us questioning ourselves, that make us go, damn, like I gotta step my game up.
Yeah, yeah.
Those people are so important because they drive that, right? Like I love to fabricate, I love to weld, I love to build things. There is this dude that straight up is on another level.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Kyle Kunhausen. I follow him on Instagram.
Yep.
He builds things that are just so ridiculously mind-blowing. It just is it's incredible. Like, I'm like, how... Like, even for me, I'm like, the time he put into one little thing to, and I want to be that.
What's his following?
157,000.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. He's done some Battle of the Builders stuff. I mean, but you look at his builds. I mean, they are next level. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I say next level, I mean next level for a lot of different really crazy builders. I mean, I can't even... I'm trying to think if I can... Max, pull this up for people that are watching on YouTube. It's an Instagram, and it's K-C-K-U-H-N-H-A-U-S-E-N. I mean, his stuff is just so... ridiculous. I mean, Rich, you got to see some of the stuff that he builds. I mean, engineers his own suspension. Here, look. Oh, it's Thanksgiving. Yep, that's him. I mean, you got to look at some of this stuff. This stuff is crazy. Keep going, Max. I'll show you one. Just keep going down. Keep going. I want to show you like some of the types. I mean, yeah, he's doing some crazy work.
Not only that, but look how clean this is.
I know.
Too.
Oh, please. Oh, I mean, keep going. I want to show you some stuff that's like just crazy. Stop. Let's see. Are we getting there? Here, go down. Oh, yeah. This is good. Is that a video where he's got the oil tank above right there? Yeah. See if that's a video. Is that a video or is that? No, it's not.
It is.
Yeah, it's a video. Oh, watch this. This dude is ridiculous. He makes his own fittings, right? Like, yep. No big deal, right? I'm just going to quickly, you know, whatever. Oh, I'm just going to make this dry sump oil tank system. Oh, no big deal. Just make that little tube that goes in there. I mean, like, that's one little piece. this guy is on the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Like I dream of him being him one day.
He got that idea for that fit in for like a, that's like the same mechanism as a GoPro holder.
Yeah, but it's not.
That?
Well, I don't know about if it's GoPro. It looks identical. It looks like one of those Wiggins types clamps.
That looks just like the way that they strap in a GoPro. Tell me not, Max, when I talk to you.
It's a mini Wiggins type clamp. But okay. What's interesting to me, if you go down a little bit more, you'll see that there is like when he built this oil tank. There's a video of like when he did this stuff, how he fit it. I wonder if this is it. Hold on again. Right? So he's like making this thing so it's gonna work, right? I mean, he shows you the internal baffling of it. I mean, this stuff is ridiculous. I mean, the stuff that he's doing. And then making a dipstick. I mean, this stuff is crazy. You understand how crazy this stuff is? I mean, he's templating. I mean, look at the mount. Look at the dimple hold mount that he made so it flush mounted in.
Yeah.
Then he makes the tubes. I mean, you saw how it was fitted. I mean, this is crazy. I'm just saying, like, this is like what, man, could you imagine the type of time and build this guy goes in, 3D printing bushings, and I mean, this is...
It's more than I can ever bring myself to.
I mean, that's an oil tank. I mean, this is like, yeah, this is nuts.
It is.
And it's everything I want to be. Well, like, this dude is like, I mean, look, it's going on. It's unbelievable.
You guys just have to link up and you get over there.
I'm not worthy of this guy. I'm not. Forget about just the skill portion of it. I like his imagination for bringing things to life.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that. That's gorgeous.
It is. Absolutely.
I mean, this is another level. It's another level. And, you know, and God bless somebody that has that talent and that has built this skill level and shows a dedication to unwavering, like, I mean, look at the lines. This is how he bends the line. I mean, it's just, if it's as close to art as you can ever
look
take
at that.
Something
I mean,
like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it really is just crazy. That's,
right?
Yeah.
And this is going to be a completely, we're not talking about something that he did for show, titanium. We're not talking about something he did for show. This is something that will be beautiful looking and function crazy. Look at the mounts he made. His mounts have dimple holes in them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you know, sorry, everybody else, your stuff is whack.
Yeah.
Like, I look at his car and I basically say, nope, I might as well just, nope, my stuff is garbage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's next level. It really is. Just incredible.
Yeah, wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow. All right. That's it. We rambled too much. but guys like this, they make everything about automotive.
Well, it's good to know then that someone like that is getting good following on social media still, and people are being able to see top of the line, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
In addition to more average stuff as well. But
yeah,
it's good to know that, you know, I don't think a lot of the average Joes that, you know, do more common, you know,
no,
mods are getting 160,000 followers, you know, unless they're
but even
influencer.
Even if they do, I'm just saying, like, there's a difference here.
Of course there is.
There's a difference between somebody, like, this is not a guy that's buying bolt-on things and just making them look clean. I mean, the builds he's doing are
100% custom down to everything. Yeah. just
nuts. Anyhow. Yeah. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it all fits into the box. I mean, this is, yeah, I mean, every little thing.
I mean,
there's
also,
so
damn,
much
look
time.
Look at the size of the wheels, too.
Look Oof. At that lower, top, you know, I guess it's lower rad support. I mean, look at that thing. He's got sleeves and, you know, into the entire pipe to give it that radical look. Not necessary. Cool as hell. Not necessary.
I wonder what the time frame is on something like
this.
Oh,
years.
Yeah,
years. But, like, gorgeous. Anyhow.
All right. Cool.
That's it. Well, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
I, you know, you know, I don't really know what to say. I hope that you have a good Thanksgiving.
This is not going to air at that time.
No?
No. Oh, I mean, it could. We could shuffle it, but... It
Max, when are we airing this thing? What was supposed to be today?
Another one that we had already done.
We'll do it today.
Happy Thanksgiving. Okay.
All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving from Max, from us, from the entire Koenig family. We hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we hope that you're able to spend it with friends and family, and maybe doing some cool car things if you end up getting that Friday off. And just as long as we're talking about it, we will not be here on Thursday or Friday. So we hope that you're going to be looking out for some of those Black Friday sales. We know some people have them going on. And in addition to that, we're trying to do a little something for fun, aren't we? Right? Mm-hmm. So we, on our website, store.koenigwheels.com, we are doing a bunch of random things. We have some closeout wheels. We have some... we have closeout wheels that are ridiculous prices. We have all our merch goes on sale, like a whole bunch. We got a accessory sale, all that crap.
Yep.
But then in addition to that, on Monday, I know I haven't really even given you this, Monday we're going to have this thing where on Cyber Monday, quote unquote, that'll be the last day that we're going to run that quote unquote Black Friday sale. That's what we're going to try to do something where during the day, like every hour, there's going to be a new deal that's popping up. And we're going to try to put some really crazy stuff in there. So stay tuned. Make sure you check out store.koenigwheels.com and especially look on that Monday because we're going to do some pretty dope stuff that you're going to want to be attention to. I think like every hour we're going to have something pop up and then go away. So, keep your game strong on your refresh. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Take care. Have a good Thanksgiving. We'll catch you on the next one.
Peace.